Well, shall we begin with prayer? Shall we ask God's blessing on our time together? Oh God, we thank you that we can meet in this way. We thank you for the liberty we enjoy. We pray that your blessing might rest upon us now in these few minutes together. Speak to us through your word, then help us in prayer. May the blessing be ours, but the glory be yours. For Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak on a topic which you'll find throughout the Bible. Very, very important. I've found there's over 100 verses in the New Testament that has this word in it. And over 200 verses in the Old Testament. Begins in Genesis chapter 1, and it goes right on to the end of Revelation. This subject appears everywhere. Let me start with an illustration. Let's see if any of you can tell me what's going on here. I am a young boy at the time. This is a true story. I'm a young boy at the time. I have a sister and a mother and father, and we live in a condemned house. That is, condemned as unfit for human habitation. It's the early days, it's in the days of the war and so on, or just after. And we've been out for the evening. We didn't go out very often together as a family in the evening, but it was dark when we came home. And the three of us had to stand at the door while my father went into the house. It was pitch black, of course, and he went in, and he felt his way into the room, and he reached up. Tell me what he's doing. And he reached up to the ceiling, and he fiddled around there until he found something. Then he
light.
Yes. And what kind of light? What was he doing?
Gas
mantle. Yes. And of course my grandchildren wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. It just happened just now. Miriam went out there and did a little click and that light came on, didn't it? But my father had to find the gas tap. He had a match and he struck it. And then he opened the tap. I hope that was the way round he did it. And he ignited the mantle. You remember getting those mantles? If you touched the mantle, it had gone to pieces. So electric light. We had no electricity in the house. Light. The Bible is full of this subject. Full of it. And when you put in words like sun and brightness and day and all those kind of words, it's everywhere throughout the Bible. Something we take for granted, don't we? And yet, it's so precious. You know about plants looking towards the light, photosynthesis and all that kind of stuff. It's a tremendous amount of stuff on light. And of course, it's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, and it is a reminder. You know all this very well indeed. Let me just remind you. Remember what Jesus said. You probably won't remember it by the text, but some of you might. Chapter 8 and verse 12 of John, he says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world." If you go back to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all that passage. What does it go on straight away after that, talking about the Word? What does it talk about next in John chapter 1? Do you remember?
Light.
He came as a light. He was the light of men and all the rest of it. And then about John the Baptist. He wasn't the light, but he was a bear witness to the light. He was the true light that came into the world. The light, the light, the light. And speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Then you get it again in John 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." You know that text very well. Then he goes on to say, "He did not come to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now this is the condemnation if men won't believe. What is it? They will not come to the light.
They
rather have darkness. They prefer it. See, light again. Then we got John 8. Then you get John 9 with the blind man. That's a very important passage. Jesus talks about light then. Very much so. Let me just read a verse there. "While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Saying it again, over and over again. Just a word or two on this then. What do you understand? What do you think about when you think about light? To me, it means several things. One would be holiness, godliness, purity, that kind of word. But I also think more than that, it would speak to me of knowledge, understanding.
Yes.
When I was at university, I had to do a subject called quantum mechanics. And I didn't have a clue about it. And so much so, when it came to my final examination, I didn't revise that subject at all. It was 12 questions in this paper, and you had to do 6. I could not do one on quantum mechanics, so I didn't have a clue about it, so I spent my time revising for the other subject. I was in the dark. Just as much as my father going in, feeling his way up to the ceiling. My daughter used a phrase several years ago. She'd probably forgotten all about it. But I've thought of it many times. When I've gone into a dark room, I thought, have I left a stool there? Have I done anything? And I sort of feel with my feet. And she said, when she goes into a darkened room, the bedroom, she said, I go in with a mother's shuffle feeling to see if there's any toys I'm going to step on. Okay? In the dark. And yet you go in a room and just click. Light. Wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christ is the light of the world. Now, of course, there's a real difficulty for us all here. We know this text like the back of our hand. So it just, to change the picture, it just goes off like water off a duck's back. Yeah, light of the world. Listen to what he's saying. Think about it. It won't be long in this country before a preacher saying that's going to get locked up. Listen. I am not a light, not just one of several, you know. There's old Buddha, he's got something to say. And of course, Muhammad, he's got a contribution, hasn't he? Yeah, he's got some light, and you know. And then these philosophers, they tell us something. Jesus is making a staggering claim here, you know. Listen, I am the light of the entire world. I'm not just one of them. I'm just one of a range, you know. We're all making a contribution. I had a Church of England vicar's wife who I taught with at one time. She taught music, piano. And she said to me once, well, we're all going the same way, you know. So we're all, well, we ain't, you know. They're not all making the same contribution at all. That's going to be politically incorrect one day, very soon. But I'll say it now. And God give me grace to say it then. Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, is the only true light. Everything else is a false light. You listening? Everything else is a false light. Now, I'm not sure it's true, but you've all heard of wreckers. Have you heard of the wreckers?
Yeah.
Remember what the wreckers used to do? There's some... I read something about it that perhaps the wreckers never did it. But what we usually understand by wreckers, if you don't know, down in Cornwall on the rocky coast, at night the wreckers would put up lights on the coast. They were false lights. And a mariner coming in a storm would see this light flickering and he'd think there's a safe haven. And he would sail there and break up on the rocks. And the wreckers would kill the people as they came ashore and rob them of their goods. False lights. False lights. And there are many false lights in this world. And false light is worse than no light. I remember a man standing in a pulpit in Wiltshire once. He was responsible for this church, this chapel. He was responsible. He was an elder. We'll call him an elder, and he was a leader. And he said, I remember in public, he said, if ever the wrong gospel, if ever the false gospel is preached in this place, I'd rather the pulpit was empty rather than the false gospel. And he's dead right. I'd rather have no medicine than a poison. I'd rather know I had no medicine than be trying to live on poison. Here is the claim, what Jesus is saying. He is the only true light. On a Friday afternoon, I go to a prayer meeting where I now live, and one of the aspects of our prayer meeting is for the gospel to go throughout the world. What I understand by that, I'm not sure everybody else does, but what I understand that by that is that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone shall be preached everywhere. Because until Christ is preached, then the people are in darkness. The entrance of God's word brings light. I'll just close with some words of Christ. There's a big subject here. I mustn't take time. But here's let me just read these words to you from John chapter 12. You're going to have the light just a little while longer, he's saying to the Jews. I'm going to be with you just a little longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, that you may become sons of light. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. How can I apply that? If any unbeliever listens to me, now or any other time, what is my word for him? What do I want him to do? Trust in the light while you have the opportunity of trusting in the light. And in the context of John chapter 12, that means believe, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and obey him in the gospel. But speaking to believers, my brothers and sisters, the privilege that is ours, knowing Christ. When were your eyes opened? How many years ago? When did the light shine for you? I know people take the mickey out of it, but you remember the chorus? At the cross, where I first saw the light. Now, people laugh at that. But your eyes were opened. You saw you were a sinner, and you saw that Christ could and would save you from your sins, and you put your trust in him. May many other sinners do the same, and may we continue to walk in the light.